Have you ever wondered what your life might look like if you actually followed your soul's nudges? Today I'm joined once again by Steph Radke. She's the founder of Trebled Souls. She's a sound facilitator, a Reiki practitioner, a yoga teacher, and so much more. You may remember Steph from episode 38, where we explored the healing power of music, sound, and movement. In this conversation, we revisit her journey with fresh eyes 3 years later, focusing on how her work has expanded and how she's deeply listening to her soul's purpose. Today, we talk about blending movement and sound healing to support both the body and nervous system, the power of curiosity and pause in the creative process, saying yes to unexpected invitations from children's classes to supporting families and loved ones at the end of life, what it really looks like to feel fear and do it anyway when your soul is calling. If you're in a season of change, craving more meaning, or curious about how sound can support healing and transition, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, of course, Maureen Spielman. And today I am here with Stephanie Radke. And Stephanie first joined me, well, back in the day. We were just laughing a little bit when we were setting our intentions and catching up. We met in college at Indiana University. Go Hoosiers for anyone who's listening. And we met during those sort of formative years when we were much younger women. And then I think that we probably didn't see each other or be in touch again, Steph, till, you know, I guess like probably about 35 years later for real. But you were here with me. And I think that I brought like a few guests back a few times. So I'll just say a few words about you. But you joined on episode 38, which was titled The Healing Power of Music, Sound, and Movement. And I think just as we were setting our intentions and we were talking about highest good and you said soul purpose and all the things, that even that title was indicative of where the podcast and maybe even your work was at the time. And I can just futurize this to say like, wow, the title alone for this episode, whatever I name it, will be, I feel like, juicier and kind of reflective of how you've grown and what you're offering. But you run, for those that don't remember, or I would encourage you to go back to episode 38. You lived out in Bend, Oregon, and you started your own company called Trebled Souls, which is really cool, like just play on words. And I know you to be a sound healer and definitely a community gatherer, a really, I feel, bold soul in this lifetime who has been willing to shift and change and take new direction. And, you know, even though you know different stages of consciousness at each stage of the game, you've just grown and used what you learned to form the next iteration of what you're here to do. So I'm just going to say a welcome with those few words. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Maureen. I'm so happy to be here with you again. Yes. And to support your beautiful work. And what can we create with the two of us for the rest of this world in the most beautiful way possible?
Mm-hmm. I was just saying to Steph, I think that it's so remarkable how people we may have met earlier in our lives, we never know if and when they're going to come back around, in what form. And I think that there's something just with that, that we both had, which was an openness. And so beautiful things can be created when we come with an open heart and kind of a curiosity about what another woman is doing in this case.
Absolutely. And that is a key word, curiosity, because that is, I think, something that's really important in life today.
So important. And yeah, the key that unlocks many doors. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to have you back was we had a delightful conversation recently, but it's kind of an opportunity and a neat thing for me to be able to do, because I can remember, I will tell you, every single guest. And this week is episode 169. And I think that I'm at about 40 solos. So that means about 130, guests have come through or something like that. And I
Amazing.
remember each and every one. And I don't follow each one's work so closely, but because you're on my radar, I get to see what you're doing. And so tell us, like, maybe starting, I know there's a lot of touch points today, but what was your vision, do you think, when you first established Troubled Souls as maybe a sound healing business? But what did that look like when you first began, just like, what was it, 3 to 5 years ago, would you say?
Yeah, I had gotten certified to teach this drumstick fitness class that I had taken for years and called Pound. And I realized that in Bend it wasn't being taught, and I thought it was such a fun way to be fit, to, take a fitness class, a group fitness class. And then after many years of crazy jobs and stressful experiences, I got certified to be a sound facilitator and also to help other people and certify them to be sound facilitators. And I couldn't quite figure out at the very beginning how to put those two things together, because one was really, very calming, and one was just more about the nervous system, and the other one was more about the cardiovascular system. But I thought, the way that I was taught for Pound was just, let's teach this crazy fun drumstick, loud music, crazy fun, and send everybody off. And that's great that they worked their cardiovascular system. But I thought to myself, that's not enough. I want to send them out into the world feeling really good and calm and grounded. So could I hit both systems? And so I just put that together, and I just threw a bunch of stuff on the wall to see what stuck. And I've thrown a lot on the walls in the last 3 years, and it's really interesting to see what has stuck and what has made more sense and what's evolved.
Yes, beautiful. That knowing a bit of your backstory, it's so interesting because you've changed careers many times. You've started companies in your former life or earlier life, but you bring that love of movement that I know that, I was thinking like, oh, what do you like to do as extracurriculars is the question, because I don't always ask that. Like, what do you do when you're not doing this? But I know you to be a mover. And so offering Pound Fitness. And then I'm wondering too, if, so often they say we teach what we need to learn ourselves. Like, does that apply to you with regard to nervous system healing?
Absolutely. I am definitely that kind of teacher. And I was raised, and I might have said this, in our previous podcast, but I was raised to impart any kind of wisdom that I learned that could help me through my stressful, my bumps and bruises. And could I share that information so that maybe somebody didn't have as much pain as I did going through whatever I was going through?
Yeah, definitely. Right. And so much of, I mean, most of what you offer, I feel like, is in person. I know we've done some remote things before, but that's what, I was telling you when I was reflecting on. It's really, I think it's a great exercise to, I get to do it because I'm interviewing people. So I reflect a lot on other people's lives. And I love to see patterns. I love to see what they're doing. I love to see like, wow, they're putting that out or they're doing it this way. But for you, I was sharing that I'm always wowed by your creative process. And when you just shared, you've thrown a lot of things at the wall. That's remarkable for me because I think I've always been consistent with the podcast, but that's been something that's harder for me to kind of get my stuff out there. Do you feel like there's something, and I think this is reminiscent of a question I asked in the prior podcast, but I feel like you are very tapped into your creative flow. Is there a part of you, like, how does that work for your process in terms of trusting yourself, kind of, if you have it, which I guess you probably do, getting past fear? Is it the belief in the work? Is it like something natural to you, or is it a combination of many things?
I think it's a combination. I think one of the most important things that I've realized along this journey is that I can't create anything without some peace and quiet. I can't keep going and going and doing and doing and giving and giving. I need to take breaks. so that I can just unwind. And it feels, I've gotten to an age where this feels comfortable enough, but in the past it has not felt comfortable to just, something comes to a close and, whatever program I've taught and it's over. And then I'm like, oh, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Hurry up, hurry up. And to give myself pause, because now I've learned that the pause, even though it's a little bit uncomfortable in the beginning, it's so, the creative process needs that pause. So that's one of the things that I've figured out. And, I do a lot of listening when I'm creating, when I'm offering a program, what I'm hearing from the attendees, what I'm hearing from, if it's children, what I'm hearing from the parents, what I'm hearing from the children. So I examine everything that I teach and I think, okay, how could I do this better? And then what would it look like if I did it again? Would I do the same thing? I take a lot of notes and then I just tweak it. And sometimes because I give myself pause, I come up with an idea and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this. Let's try this. Or I walked in, I just literally one day, I just got in the car and I drove myself to this place and I walked in and I said, and it's a place that I'm familiar with, but I just wasn't planning on going there that day. And I walked in and I said, it's an apothecary. And I said, I would like to d develop a tea blend. And they said, okay. And then I said, we spent like 4 hours developing a tea blend. And then I thought, what am I going to do with this tea blend? And then it's immunity and sound came about. And,
Beautiful.
so I just, if I give myself that pause and I let myself just wander and just be calm and in a peaceful state, things flow.
That's really cool. And a lot of times, I mean, we're not going to act on every idea, right? But it's that knowing, like, oh, I'm going to follow my own lead here. You're the one with the idea for the tea. You didn't know where it was going necessarily, but then it all falls into place. And so I love that. Do you have something to say about that? Or does that part make sense? Or
I
were you
do.
tweaking?
I think one thing I think I want to add is that if you like it, if it sounds interesting, like I would want to sign up for that event, or I would want to participate in that, or I would want to be on the receiving end of that, then maybe you have something and you see, can you find your people that would like that as well? And then, sometimes you try it and you're like, okay, well, that didn't fly. And maybe it's not because it wasn't a great thing, but maybe it was titled improperly or, so it's hard for me. I think about it for a while. I throw something on the wall and maybe it doesn't stick. And then I let it sit for a little while. And I did this with my clothing line years ago too. I sat with it for about 6 months. I said, do I want to keep going with this or not? And then things just come about. And like, say you make a decision and I said, all right, I'm up. This has happened to me so many times where I think to myself, all right, today I'm going to pull this off of my website. I don't think it's working anymore. I just can't believe every time I do that, I get a phone call. Hey, I'm looking for a blah, 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 blah. And we're keeping that, because there is a need. And I also have found that my lead times with people, sometimes they hear about me, they get exposed to something I'm offering, and I don't hear from them for like 6 months. So I have to also be patient with the creative process.
That's beautiful. But keeping it in motion and knowing that this work is so healing, it's so desired. It's how have you seen it grow in the last few years, as just in terms of you've served a lot of different populations now, it seems.
Yes, and I keep thinking I need to narrow down my demographic, and it in the last month it really has expanded. It hasn't contracted, and I just said to my husband the other day, I said, I think I need to title this like From Birth to Death. I mentioned previously I just got a call, two calls in one day for sound baths for people who are about to pass on, and could I help them and their families, go through that process? And I said yes to both, but I was very, very nervous to do this. I have been in that space, not in terms of a sound bath, but I've been in the space of a really traumatic loss in my life. And I didn't know if I wanted to revisit that. And I thought I was scared. But you brought up something previously, you said the word fear. And I think that's something I was taught also early on. It's, that book, Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. If I want to do something and I feel it, like I just want to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be scared, but I'm just going to do it anyway, because I want to try it. I believe in it. I believe in what I'm offering. And I see if somebody else believes in it or not. But anyway, so I was really scared to do this offering, but I did it. And I drove home after the experience and I said, okay, I need to process this. Like, do I need to cry? Like, how do I need to emote from this experience? What am I thinking? How do I feel about this? Could I do this again? And it wasn't just help and peace for the person who was passing, who ended up passing about 36 hours later, but the family. I mean, there was a point in the sound bath that the family needed attending to, and we almost forgot about the person who was lying right there who was about to pass because everybody else needed it. And I found, I wouldn't say joy, but I just felt so happy that I could put a smile on these people's faces in this experience of just pure tragedy and trauma and sadness, and makes me sad to think about it. But also, I know that I made a difference and I helped them get through this experience in a beautiful way. I helped their nervous systems unwind, even if it was just for the 2 hours that I was with them. And I thought, gosh, I know this space. I can do this. And I felt really strong. And I could I do it again? Absolutely. Would I do it again? Absolutely.
Right. Beautiful experience. And oh gosh, I can only imagine the comfort that's brought to the family. And not, I mean, it's kind of like the science of music too, right? And the sound that's coming through and the healing power. And I imagine the way that it kind of, the word binds is coming, like, but binds people together. And just, I feel like it's no longer about what we do in a sense. If you're on this path and you've given of your gifts at different parts of your life and everything, but like, if this truly, like coming into the sound facilitation was a portal to what Steph is here to do. It's so fascinating to see the way it plays out because I loved it when we set our intentions before you were talking about soul purpose. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's like record scratch. Like this whole thing's going to be more about soul purpose because you've really listened to where you're being invited, the spaces you're being invited into, how you're here to serve humanity. And it's such an interesting thing to think about. It's for our own ascension when we step into these shoes or on this path or whatever it is. And it's for the collective, which is so needed right now as well. And you're just seeing it grow. I mean, two phone calls on the same day. What? How? Who? No. It's like, wow, that's a lot of energy coming towards, something that looks alike that, with your name on it.
And just to be able to answer it. I mean, I read a book once about ideas and how ideas just sort of plop in your brain. And if you, I think we might have talked about this before too, but if they plop in your brain and you execute, you move on the idea, then that's yours. But if you don't move on the idea is going to fly out of your head and it's going to go plop in someone else's head, right?
That's
So
fascinating.
I think that's really interesting. So I think so it's do you say yes to it? And even if it sounds like, wow, I didn't see that coming, which is what I said, just saying yes. And you explore it and then you see, does it resonate with you? Even if you didn't imagine that it resonating, I think it's very possible. But I think that's when the soul connection happens. Here's the idea, you say yes, and you follow that path. And again, the soul purpose, like what is your soul purpose? If you peel back all the layers that your parents put on you, that your family put on you, that your teachers and your neighbors and whoever, the people in your church, however. If you peel back all those layers and you get curious, then you get to see who really am I and what really resonates with me, regardless of what that looks like. And then we find peace. I mean, literally, if we could just connect with our souls, I think so much of the anger in this world would be lessened because a lot of people are just doing, whatever somebody's told them to do or they're listening to not
Absolutely.
their
No, yes.
intuition, their heart, their gut,
Absolutely. And part of your process that you just described that you went through when you left and It's not an ego thing, like, oh, this is this is what I do, and I'm, this is my badge of honor, and I just did that. I just created that. No, you got that out of the way, got down to the heart, the soul of the, and that's what it feels like. It feels like when people will say like soul fulfilling, that's a different feeling than it's very, that's very body based too.
And, I've been thinking a lot about thoughts. I really actually, a funny thing happened on Monday. I went to my walking meditation class, and the meditation was awesome. And it got me to a space where my whole body felt hollowed out, like it was open, and the energy was just flowing so clearly. There were no blockages. Everything just felt like it was just space to run energy, and it was so good. But I walked into that meditation with a few things that were frustrating me, and I was like, wow, how am I going to calm my brain down to get into the space to meditate? But I got in there pretty good, and then, like I said, this whole thing just opened up. And then when I was done with the meditation, I said to myself, well, my thoughts are still going about these things that were frustrating me before the meditation started. And I had a choice. Did I want to think about those things and ruminate, or did I want to just stay in the space where I was free and clear and the energy was just running so beautifully? And I just felt really like heart-centered, even though that's kind of funny. We talked about that our heart really isn't in the center, but I just felt like in my heart. But I said, I'm just going to stay in my energy flow where it just seems so easy and free, and I'm just going to let those thoughts go because they're not serving me. And I certainly don't want them to become beliefs and like run down my system and, run into my cells. And yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for bringing that up. And that example of this is what it can look like. I mean, you had that meditation to aid you in that particular event, but yeah, that we do have a choice. And when we're on the path of becoming more aware, it's consciousness is a big word. To me, it's really awareness. Like I can't, I'm not gauging or measuring my consciousness growing, but I think we can kind of see that it is when we're becoming more aware, when we're slowing down, when we can then be with our thoughts, watch our thoughts, not judge our thoughts, have compassion, like all those things. You just keep on getting like deep in the layers, deep in the layers. And you've been saying some things about conditioning, and I'm fascinating with conditioning or fascinated by it. I think when I was doing the conscious parenting certification with Dr. Shefali, she's the one that hits that hard. And I was like, oh, wow, like I may have thought it, that was 6 years ago about it. So I knew, but when you really start looking at your belief systems and, just layer by layer by layer by layer, and are they mine and what am I willing to let go of? And kind of challenge, they'll be like flying off of you. It's
Seriously,
crazy. Yeah.
if you let them.
If you let them. Yep.
But
And
that's
that's.
realizing that you're becoming a new version of yourself. And what do you look like if you don't have those thoughts and those patterns and those beliefs? And, how does that feel? That feels different. And how are other people around you going to receive that? And so that's something that also there has to be a need to step into that new version of you, which is
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
exciting, but also scary.
Yeah. What you're saying too, something, piggybacking on that, when you were saying like I gave myself the experience to go provide the sound healing for someone dying, is that you gave yourself the experience, and it's almost like we're rewiring or retraining. Like there's some edge that you pushed up against. And if you could be with yourself in calm and then be with the part, any parts of you that were elevated or kind of like, was that good enough or just old voices, that you're really rewiring, retraining. And it might take, it takes us different, experiences to work through that. But I think it's really cool now that we're having these experiences, but it's for everyone. And so, and we see more and more people kind of like, I'm interested in that. Can I experience that? What are you doing over there? And it is growing. The outside world and some of the forces that be want to entrain us to think in a different way. But I think when I talked to you recently, I said that, like, no, I've got the pull of knowing that this work matters. And that's why it's in the people's being ship, like their beingness that's growing. And the more people that are willing to step into it, your light's going to shine. There's just more light being emitted.
I couldn't agree more. And I keep saying to people, this is, I feel like I'm a broken record, but lately I just keep finding myself saying, you do realize that you're modeling for others. And I don't say that to put pressure on people, but just to realize that, especially for parents, it's just the decisions you're making, maybe you would make the decision differently, realizing that your child is watching and modeling. And you are a parent, you've brought this child into this world, and you're trying to do your very best. And so here's another opportunity to look at that and say, would I want this for my child to do the same behavior, these same patterns, these same reactions, or these same responses? And how does that look? Because again, that's another way, a beautiful way as a parent. How lucky to be a parent, to be able to inform another human being how to stay or how to be connected with their soul in the best way possible.
That's exquisite for a child to have the language of, ballpark of soul, your uniqueness, your imprint, why you're here. I had a guest last week. Her name was Reverend Karen Herrick. I loved her. She was a therapist. She had done addiction work. She did a lot of different things. But her grandson was in the back seat one day, and I think she said he was only about 5. And he says, "Grandma, what is a soul?" And so she begins to explain it, and she writes a book about it. And it's a gorgeous book. It's like one of those children's books that's really for all ages,
Oh, no.
because this language, this is what I love about this work. Whatever the language is, whether it's more soul purpose or nervous system recalibration or anything that's in, because that's what I was saying when we started at the top of the hour. Like, what I knew then was the healing power of music, movement, and sound. Well, okay, let's go deeper, but now I'm not saying, sometimes I read, like, I've read, like, whoa, 1% of the population is doing this sort of work. But what happens when that becomes 2 and then 5, and then it just begins to exponentialize. And I'm not an expert in that at all. I love reading about, like, tipping points and what's happening, but I'm hearing it more and more. And you're not, I think in the past it would be like, am I going to freak this person out if I start talking like, and some stuff, yes.
Sure,
Yes.
sure.
But I think it's more being more accepted, and maybe that's in my feed or my conversations, but I love it. And these are the conversations that bring me alive and real, for real, like my soul alive. That's why I do it.
I think it's amazing, and I think it again, it's just the model, it's the modeling. Because I have to tell you, even in, well, first of all, I just got certified to teach kids yoga. So it was a 6-month program I just went through, and it was pretty mind-blowing. I didn't know. I thought I was just going to learn a few things about yoga, maybe some poses and how to teach this to kids. It was so much more. I had no idea some of the things that yoga stands for, and that's become pretty normalized in our, at least in our country, and in some other countries, it's been normalized for many, 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 many moons. We're just getting started here, but I think there is still some of the belief systems that, well, this is weird, and these are the fundamentals of a different religion. And I mean, I learned yoga for kids as how to be honest with yourself, how to talk honestly with others, how to be clean, how to, I mean, all these tenets that I had no idea had to do with this way to learn yoga. And so I think that it's just helpful, it's defining. And like even here in town in Bend, okay, so there's half a Bend where there's a sound bath on every corner, and then there's the other half of Bend that is like, This is weird. This is woo-woo. Are you going to touch me? Is there going to be water on me? Am I going to be naked? I get kind of crazy. Not crazy. I get
Yeah.
questions that are just really, that people just don't know anything about. And that's who I want to talk to, because I want to give them an opportunity to have a
Yeah.
tool to help their
Yeah.
nervous systems. And if this isn't the tool, I always say, I'm okay with that. If this isn't your tool, find one that
Yeah.
is, that will get your nervous system to unwind.
Oh, I
And
love
I
it.
give them suggestions. I also do Reiki. And so I think, there's a million different ways to do it. But I think that it's an uphill battle sometimes, because our world is just about how can we just keep busy? We have to keep busy. We have to keep busy. It's important. We sound like we have big business if we're busy, and we're busy, and then we're busy, and we have a great social life, and we have a great life, and our business. It's just exhausting just hearing that. And I'm just trying to tell people, like, hey, you got to calm down for like a minute each day. And people are like, yeah, good
Definitely.
luck.
And
But we have to start somewhere.
yeah, we do. And I love your work with the children because it's, for a long time when I first brought this movie Race to Nowhere to the Oak Park area here outside of Chicago, I think it was, could have been as early as 2010, 2011. And that movie was about the pinnacle of pressure on children. And, Vicki Abeles is out in Marin County, that area. And there had been a young girl who had taken her life. And she became a filmmaker because of this to show the pressures. And I think, I think myself and the women around me who brought that film and responded so, inquisitively to it and how can we create change and all this. I thought at the time that was like almost like the pinnacle of like how things would become so escalated for children and society. And obviously that wasn't true. But I think this kind of work and what dawns on me is we have school systems that are so heavily academic. And I think now, schools are reintroducing social emotional principles and trying to give more outlets. But it's, I think it's still probably, I have not walked into a grade school recently. But, I have older kids and they're finishing academia at the college level. And I do see some changes, but there's so much here. And when you say like the yoga principles, that just reminds me of like, wow, we're teaching, those are te really honing in on value systems. And I think that's a really important part of our lives is like, what do you value? And have those principles, like those core principles for yourself and live life by them. But you're like bringing them in. I saw that post you did on Instagram, like for the littles. And these, it's like little kids, right? Right now, like 3 to 5 year olds, like that age range. Yes. Oh, and how are you liking that work? How is that for you?
I'm a little surprised. I did not see that coming either. I stepped into the space thinking, I'm going to go back to the middle school thing where when I had my tutoring business, I loved that middle school angst, and I could relate to it so much. And just because it was a hard time for me, and I wanted to help, children get through that. But then I realized, oh gosh, I mean, they're already developing these morals and values that, they're already 12 and 13 years old, and I'm like, well, I threw out, it actually happened by mistake. I threw out a class, and I was doing pound and sound, which I do for adults typically. I said I was going to do a pound and sound class for like 3 Fridays in a row for kids, and I forgot to put an age range on it. And so somebody, yeah. So somebody came and said, "Hey, I've got a 4-year-old. Can I send my 4-year-old to the class?" And I was like, "Ooh, I mean, I'm trained. I had already trained for the yoga stuff for the little littles, and I had already been certified to do the pound for littles." And I thought, "All right, well, sure." So then I put an age range. I said, "Well, how about like 4 to 9, which is a little high?" But I was like, "Well, let's see what happens." And I ended up with a class of 4-year-olds. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I was, like I said, I had been trained for the yoga stuff. So I got all my little kids' books, and I got all, I created a little corner in case they needed to take, some time to themselves if they didn't feel like they wanted to participate. And I just brought everything together, and they were just, oh my gosh, I loved them. Oh,
Oh, that's
they were
so great.
so sweet and so cute and so open. And I haven't found any children yet, and hopefully never, that don't enjoy a sound bath. And
Wow.
especially the way I do it. And also I give them time at the end to play with some of the instruments. So I was like, okay, well, these nervous systems are super open, right? Because they're young, so they haven't had all that stuff dumped on them. And so I was like, oh, if I can teach them the tools now, then they've got these tools. Nobody can take them away from them ever. So I said, all right, I'm going to continue building this. So
That is so cool. You know, and that's the future. You know, I was reading, it's a great book. Someone told me about Diana Cooper. I think it was my friend Ariana, and I didn't know her work. And I think she's written many, many books, and she's written one about the new earth. And this is the type of thing I think that's really described in there. Like, this is the future of classrooms. This is the future of learning. And you know, I think sometimes my kids were in public school, so I didn't have any sort of alternative learning at all. And I think some, you know, even like building into homeschooling programs or alternative schools, you know, they're starting to experience more of this. And the way we think about these things, when you said, you know, other people in town were like, whoa, what is this stuff? You know, yeah, but like once you invite someone into the room and you can see it clearly that it's speaking to them on a soul level, on a cellular level, you can't really argue with it because it speaks right to you.
yeah, and
Yeah, that's.
everybody has a reaction, and everyone
Yeah.
has a reaction, a different reaction every time they have that experience, because they're coming to the table with a different day, a different version of
Yes.
themselves.
Yes.
So, and to just come back to what you were saying about the public school system, the private school, the alternative school system, I literally was just talking to one of my best friends today. She and her family are thinking about moving from Nashville to Portland, Maine. And the kids are in a private school in Nashville, and they would be going to a private school in Maine. And so the kids did a shadow day yesterday in this school in Portland, Maine. And the kids' experience was, they said, wow, gosh, this is just, they came back and they were describing that the teachers were encouraging more critical thinking and more so even than the private school in Nashville. Nashville, it was still more driven, like, got to take those AP classes, got to get into an Ivy League school, got to do this. And it wasn't as much as like, you be you, you know, and how do you make decisions and how do you figure that out? And I just read an article about, you know, how, you know, AI and what a how AI's impact is coming into our world and or is in our world, and that critical thinking is still going to be super important regardless. And critical thinking, I mean, gosh, and curiosity. I mean, if you have that, like, oh my God, I just.
Yeah. And I think the reminder is to stay engaged. And, you know, I think like for our parents' generation, it was always like use it or lose it, right? There's like an old adage like that. But I was listening to, I think he's a wise sage, Greg Braden, talking about, you know, he wrote a book called Pure Human. And he, you know, posits that if we don't make really conscious choices about reserving our rights and not giving everything over to AI, and that we will be the last generation of pure humans, and that there will be, you know, almost like chips being planted into you. This was the stuff of science fiction, right? But that's why I think the work and why I started with the creative process with you is those inner technologies like creativity, intuition, you know, gut knowing, the thinking, critical thinking, like those are all inherent to us. And he says it's something crazy, like if you don't use it within 7 days, your brain cells will start to kind of die off. And it's a very short window. And I'm just more the older I get, I'm like, okay, I want to be engaging my senses, my thinking, you know, not going crazy by, you know, you resting too, but it's essential to preserve it and preserve it, you know, educate the next generations to preserve it so they are pure humans as well, in my opinion.
I agree, but and even so, like I watch my father. My father is a beautiful role model in that way. He's 83 years old, and he is, I mean, he's constantly educating himself, constantly. He's always learning. He's on his iPhone all the time. Sometimes he has things to offer me about, oh, did you see on your iPhone you can do this? Or, and he's constantly reading. I mean, I think he's read every self-help book known to mankind. He literally he enrolled in Tony Robbins' AI program. If you keep being curious and wanting to learn, yeah, that's so good for your brain and so good for your heart and your confidence and your love for yourself. You believe in yourself that you have the power to learn and be proud of yourself and make decisions for yourself, even if they're different than the next person. And it just such a beautiful way to, love yourself more.
I know. It's really amazing too that, even for a person like you that has your hands in like these different pots and stuff like that, that might be the tip of the iceberg, right? We're capable of so much. And I always botch the Marianne Williamson quote, but fear of being how great we could become. I
You're
can't,
right.
I saw her speak last week. I still can't, I don't have it
It's
memorized.
something about how we're, yeah, I know exactly what the one you're talking about. Something we're not, we shouldn't be fearful of who we're not or something like that. We should be more fearful about like who we really are. Something like that. We should not fearful, but we should like be curious and do it
And
and be it.
there's just like so much greatness within us. And that's what I love about the podcast too, is just interviewing people who have kind of allowed themselves to discover. I mean, just like the path that your dad is on, and to open ourselves up to learning. Steph, you had mentioned that, parts of the town you live in do offer what you're doing in a sense, like on paper. Okay, there are other people who are offering sound healing, or just like the different ways it intersects with your work. And I mean, one thing that I always have read is that there's 7 billion people on the planet. And even within a town that might not be that big, there's someone for our work. But how does that ever create any sort of challenges for you? Or do you look at your work as such a, the way that you do it is that unique imprint? There's only that way that you bring it forth.
So that's a great question. Thanks for asking that. It's a very confronting question for me. I was raised in the northern suburbs of Chicago, where I believe that competition was at is still at its highest. And I know someone who told me once that when women get together and somebody asks, everybody brings, it's a potluck kind of gathering, and everybody brings something, and someone says, "Oh my gosh, I love that. That's so tasty. Can I have the recipe?" And the women say, "Well, here's the recipe," and they leave something out, which this is the ideal, not ideal in terms of like great, but I mean this is these were the ideals that I was raised with. And so it's the competition is so fierce and so unopen, and it's just so painful to me. And so when I put something forth, it's hard for me, or it has been in the past, hard for me to see that someone is doing the same thing as me. And I've put it out there. I have to put it out there. I'm running a business, so I can't hide it. And I want to put it out there because I know it's making a difference. And that's the most important thing that drives me, because if someone is going to mimic me, I think that good, great. I mean, the more the merrier, because first of all, it's putting more information out there so that more people can realize that this is an offering and this is helping. And if one person is interested in doing it, now there's two, now there's five, now there's 10, now there's 30. They're all doing similar things. But in the end, it's just, okay, this is what I have to offer. These are all my experiences, and what kind of wisdom can I impart, and what kind of love can I share and give, and how can I help that person feel the best that they can feel and love themselves more? And is the next person, what's the next person, who's doing something that looks on paper exactly like what I'm doing? Are they doing the same thing as me? They couldn't possibly. They don't have all of my life's experiences. So we're going to deliver in different ways. So that has become my sort of belief system, is that, I'm going to throw it out there, and if somebody wants to do it, great. They're inevitably, they cannot do it the same way as I am, because they don't have all these years of experience, the exact same things. They just don't. We're all unique human beings, and we need to celebrate that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think a critical part of what you're saying is the rewriting of those stories also that you ingested as a young person. And we are all, and I love that you brought it up too, because for myself, I named this podcast Sisterhood, right? I put it in the title almost as like this beacon of how I want to be. And if I have sides of myself that show up in any way, I look at them and I think like, oh, you know, what are you carrying from the past? What outdated sort of that you're not, I'm not walking around thinking of these things, but we know like certain things can, they can trigger or bring up a reaction in us that's typically based in something in the past. But I think with women is that I know for myself, I'll say, if I see my sides that like interfere with the clear flow, I take a look and I'm like, okay, Maureen, what is here for you to heal? And it sounds, and I think we're all doing that because I think also we just didn't grow up with it. There were a lot of pitting of forces against each other. And it's just, you know, it's time to wash it away. And like you were saying earlier too, that that model and that mentorship of being that and like moving into that space.
I think it's hard too because I think it's a neural pathway that we a lot of us have developed over, growing up and being able to navigate, life and sometimes, mean girl stuff. And I think that really has had an impact. And I think that it has to take a strong person to be able to look at themselves and understand. Like I'm looking at myself and saying, okay, these thought processes are not serving me nor anybody else. So I think that's really what you have to take a look at. But can you take a look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, this isn't really serving anybody, neither myself. And so how do I change that? That's also another scary thing, but so impactful. And also, you and I both have had that experience of living in a home with 80 girls. And how do we come together in beautiful ways? We've had those experiences and we're lucky for that. At least I think so. So to be able to see that it's possible to collaborate and have beautiful things come together with a bunch of women, I think is, it's, I think I'm grateful for that experience because otherwise, I mean,
Oh, there's so many good like conversations within this, right? Like of an almost like another directionality for another conversation, but it feels like one of the ones that would be good, like really juicy for a round table on and get different women's experiences because the thing one thing that I think I carried from my younger years that has become apparent to me is that I always knew like I thought differently and I really buck systems. Like even when I was in a house with 80 girls, there was this drive to be like, gosh, I'm not going to conform here, you know, and it pushed. But the thing about it is what I realized was in I just talked to another woman earlier on a podcast recording today, and she was saying she had a lot of fierceness come down through her family. And that fierceness was it's like a really great quality, but then it can also be a survival part of you that it's like, what are you not allowing? And so I look at that part of myself and I realize that I've kept myself out because of the way that I was defining myself. I kept myself on the edge of a lot of circles. And you know what? Hey, it was for my life. It's been for my life, right? Everything's divinely ordered, but I see that in me. And I'm like, just get curious about it. Like, oh, that's interesting. And what if you allowed yourself? What if you allowed yourself to be in the mix, in the soup, in the, you know? And that's been a really interesting journey for me is to see the way I've almost like marginalized myself, you know. Just that's like a Pandora's box that's been opening even in the last like 6 months. And they're great realizations because I've held myself from happiness because of them. I didn't know.
Well, kudos to you that you're looking at that. But I have to tell you, Maureen, just very honestly, when we knew each other back when we're, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, I just thought, like I said, I've thought the world of you. And I just thought, well, this is just a really interesting human being, period. I don't, I, you know, whatever you stood for, if you didn't want to be in, the sorority house and you wanted to move out and do whatever, I don't really care. I just thought that just you as a human being, I just liked who you
You
were. I
could see
liked what
it.
you stood for. I thought that you were just rad.
I think that's true too. Thank you. Oh, well, maybe we'll round it out there. We've had a great conversation. Thank you for today. What is coming through you at this time? I think that this offering is lightness to the density that's out there. What are you feeling? Humanity, people in general, women, whatever the message that's coming through you, what is here to be shared as we finish up today?
No, I appreciate you asking, and I appreciate you again having me on your beautiful, amazing podcast. Thank you. I just think that, and I know it sounds so big and like, how is this possible? But my goodness, just people, if just one person at a time could look inward just for a moment, because inward is where your nervous system sits. Inward is where your heart and your soul lives. And that if we could just look and see what really and challenge what really makes your heart happy, and where are the heck yeahs for you? Like, how can you find those? How can you find more of those to put yourself in those positions where you feel more whole and more vitality and love, and just start with the self-love? What I think is the craziest, most amazing thing, and I've tested it lately because I have to, I try to walk the walk, is that I've been telling people, can you wake up every morning before you get out of bed? And this sounds probably like just basic, but not basic at all. Can you say to yourself, I love me? And I think, some people might say, well, I feel goofy doing that, and that feels weird and everything. Of course, it feels weird because we weren't raised that way, which makes me crazy. But if you love yourself, then maybe you could love others, and maybe you could be kinder and softer and gentler and still be the amazing human that you are, and strong and strength or whatever. But the inner love, like, so if you say, I love you before you get out of bed every single day, or when you go to bed, I don't care, once a day, at least once a day, can you say that at the same time every day? What happens after, the first couple of days, you're like, this is stupid, and you might forget, and you're like, where am I going with this? Is it doing anything? But if you hang in there, it's crazy what starts
I love it.
happening. It's, I mean, I can't, I, the stuff is nuts. I cannot believe, like, as I started practicing that, what things have come to me that I'm like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. That was amazing. Oh my gosh, how did I get so lucky? Like, well, I guess I love myself. So the
That's
energy starts
lovely.
coming to you. So, it takes whatever, 21 days to form a habit or whatever, you think. But that's what's coming through to me is, could you say, I love you every single day and watch the magic unfold?
Yes, gorgeous. I love it. I love me.
I love it. Yay! Nice work. Now you have 20 days left.
My gosh, that is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to end. Thank you for being here for the second time. I'm so
Thank you.
excited. And people can find you at, I think it's traveledsouls.com. Is that
Troubled,
right?
like TREBLED, souls. Trouble, like the treble clef in music.
Yes, very nice. And at, is that your same Instagram handle?
Yeah, it's trebled.souls. So there's a dot in there for Instagram. Yeah,
Okay.
thank you.
I
Thanks
will say
for
thank
being
you to the listener for being here. It was a
here.
lot of fun. Steph is definitely someone who brings my original premise of joy and healing into the space of her work, cohabitating the space together. It doesn't have to be one over the other, it can be both. So thanks for being here, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you, Maureen. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. and be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.